Well, our topic today is Christ consciousness, and we are finishing the book, our study of the book, Essential Earnest Homes, with chapter 10 on Jesus and the Christ. And it seemed that it was sensible to move chapter 10 to December and contemplate the Christ right around the Christmas time. And I know that for me, a great deal of the Christmas holiday revolves around music. I've gone to 5 different Christmas concerts over the last 4 weeks, and it inspires me to hear all of the ways that people contemplate spirit through music and praise and worship and try to understand through the power of music. And so I am grateful for that beautiful song that Michael and Siobhan just shared with us. And please pass on our, not the compliments to the chef, the compliments to the to the composer and a poet who wrote that beautiful song. That was gorgeous. And so the one thing that I think music does for us is it opens our hearts and it allows us to experience love in a new way, to expand and connect with bigger ideas and powerful patterns of thought that can move us. I think that the energy of source, the divine essence within us, is ever seeking expression. And in some people it expresses as poetry, in some people it expresses as knitting. And I love watching Judy knit and seeing people create in their own way, in the powerful ways that they do, and that urge within us that continues to come forward, that wants to express in who we are, is that divine energy, which I today am going to call the Christ consciousness. There is ever that within us that wants to sing our individual song. And that is what this chapter is about, that Ernest was talking about. He said, we are, and I'm going to put this in gender-neutral terms, because he wrote in a time when they used he for everything and son for everyone. But we are now as much the children of God as we can ever become. And no moment in eternity is more important than the one in which we now live. If God ever had a creation, if God ever had a child, he has that child in each of us this day. God is begetting itself in us now. Spirit within us is our personal share of universal spirit. Divine presence is centered within us. Pure spirit exists at the very center of our being, at the innermost part of our mind. It is our true and eternal self. Such life as we have flows from us, from it. Sorry, let me read that again. Such life as we have flows from it, the universal spirit. There is nothing to our being other than life and what it does through us. We do not deny the divinity of Jesus, but do affirm the divinity of all people. We do not deny that Jesus was the Son of God, but affirm that all people are the children of God. We do not deny that the kingdom of God was revealed through Jesus, but know that the kingdom of God is also revealed through you and me. Jesus viewed the world not as solid fact, but as liquid form. He viewed life not as physical fact, but as a set of spiritual laws. And so what is it that we are here to do? I wrote a daily guide for Science and Mind magazine a while back, and when I showed it to Reverend Hillary, she said, that's the whole talk that I would do for Christ consciousness. So I want to share with you what I said that in that reading in Science of Mind magazine, because Reverend Hillary put her stamp on it too, and I appreciate her perspective. It quotes Science of Mind textbook, each one puts on the Christ to the degree that he surrenders a limited sense of life to the divine realization of wholeness. So the title of this reading is Putting on the Christ. And I wrote, studying Science of Mind, people ask, can we do what Jesus did? And superficially, the answer is yes, but that's not the whole story. Truly, we will not do what Jesus did. Jesus didn't do exactly what Moses did either. Yet if we become as clear in our consciousness as Jesus was, we will be able to do whatever we are guided to do as well as he did what he was guided to do. Every life path is unique. What we feel called to do will be inspired within our own experience in harmony with our own gifts. We don't have the potential to be Christ Jesus. The I am that I am has chosen to express as each of us. An anointed one, that's what Christ means, the anointed one. An anointed one with our name. To whatever degree we are willing and able to know our wholeness, we will expand the love and demonstrate the law of spirit, just as Jesus did. In Anatomy of Healing Prayer, Ernest Holmes said, neither did Jesus place any limit upon our use of divine power. Rather, he said in essence, watch what I do, understand what I speak, enter into conscious union with the Spirit, and you will do greater things than I have done. As we put on the Christ in ourselves, we emulate the consciousness of Jesus that inspired his actions, rather than copy his actions alone. Today, I take one gentle step in knowing the true value of my life. I am willing to be guided, and I trust the graceful unfolding of my own path. We are each here to be the Christ as ourselves. Each of us individually is divine. One of my teachers, Terry McBride, said that the divine discontent within us is that divine spark that is ever eager for a greater expression, something more. We are here to love more, to be more, to share more, to allow more. And we are endless in our possibility for expansion because we are infinite eternal beings. We are never going to get it done. We are not here to complete something. And I had an experience this past week that was wonderful, and it's probably an experience other people have a lot, but it was new to me. And I was playing a game with two of my friends, and I tend to be goal-oriented. I'm a J on the Myers-Briggs. I love to get things finished. And I was playing the game, you know, with the strategy of achieving the next level and doing this. But it's a game called the Transformation Game, and it's about expanding your consciousness. It's not so much about getting it done. And it always, people will say when you finish, oh, you won the game. But it's not about winning the game. It's about learning something about yourself. But I was focused in that moment on winning the game. And I was sitting there, and I suddenly realized, playing with these two wonderful friends, and we were having this fabulous discussion because the game inspires conversation about life, how you look at your life and how you could change the way you look at your life. Perhaps that's the transformation part of it. And I suddenly realized that I was going to win on my next turn. I was going to finish. And when you finish, you don't get to play anymore. And I realized I didn't want to stop playing. I didn't want to complete the game. I wanted to be a part of the game. Because what happens when you finish is that you drop out of the game, but everybody else keeps playing until they finish. And I didn't want to, I didn't want to be an observer. I wanted to be a participant. I wanted to be a passionate participant in this conversation that was so inspiring that was going on. And so I looked and I thought, I don't want the game to be over. What can I do? And I realized that I could give away the pieces that were bringing me to the next level. And so I looked around at my friends and I realized that I had this piece that this person needed. And so I gave her that piece, which meant I didn't finish. So it's part of the rules that you can give anything away at any time, but I had never really used them to prolong the game. And as the turn went around, I finished several times. And then on my next turn, rather than finishing, would give away what I had that made me finish. And finally, I finished one more time, and on my next turn, I would be done. And then my friend to the right also completed his board. And he looked down at what he had and realized he had everything that our other friend needed to finish left over, and so he gave her everything that she needed to finish, and the three of us finished simultaneously. And it was such a satisfying conclusion to that particular game. And so that was exciting to me, because as I was in that space of not wanting to achieve the goal, but rather wanting to play the game, I got the feeling that's how we feel when we are thinking about coming into physical life from a non-physical perspective. That we aren't here to achieve an objective. We aren't here to do another life because we need to do a life and cross it off our list. Our lives are not to-do lists. Our lives are opportunity to play games with our friends. And that was really powerful for me. I hadn't really gotten that feeling. I had that knowing intellectually, but the embodiment of that feeling of, I just want to play. It's just fun to play. I want to participate was really fresh and new to me in that moment. And so the week went on, and as Judy will attest, every time you sign up to do a talk, you get to have the experience you need to have in order to give the talk. Sometimes we say, what was I thinking when I signed up for that particular talk? And this particular week, this unfolding went on, and on Thursday night, I was working on the book that I'm writing. And I realized that the beloved, my guides that I'm writing the book with, were concluding the book. They were giving me the signal that the book was done. And I wasn't done with it. And I had the same feeling. I just want to keep playing the game. And so I said, I'm not done. You know, how come we got to finish the book here? And they said, you wouldn't still want to be playing the game that you started on Tuesday night. You played the game until it came to a very satisfying, lovely, unique conclusion. But then you went on to play other games all week long. There are always new games. There's an infinite expansion of games. And so we begin the games, we play the games, we begin new games, we end a game, we start a new game, and that progression of beginning and ending and beginning, that's always the next step. And the beginning comes to a conclusion, but that conclusion opens another door, and the life continues. And I think that's a metaphor for the much broader life experience that we have, that we continue to want to play the game. And when one game ends, we start another, whether it's the game of a particular life or the game of a particular experience. You know, as you start a new job, you feel much better if you conclude some of the old jobs before you move on. Because it gets really overwhelming if it all just continues. And one time Seth said, thank God for death, otherwise we'd be up to our asses in alligators. And we have this opportunity to continue and to look at each new moment as a wonderful new beginning. And so we have this new beginning, and every day we have this opportunity to have a new beginning. Albert Einstein said, "Everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will spend its whole life believing it is stupid." Isn't that brilliant? I love Albert Einstein. He thought outside the box a lot, but this whole idea that each of us has this individual gift to give. We are each here as the Christ, as the Anointed One, the Blessed One. We are each blessed. We are each gifted with certain talents and abilities. We each have a life path that requires that we develop certain skills and talents. We have all of these opportunities to share who we are. And we are moving forward every day. There's always something new opening up before us. And even when we die, it's just the beginning of the next part of our infinite life. So the essence of Jesus, I'm not a biblical scholar, and I feel a little bit, I don't know what the right word is, embarrassed, I guess, to talk about Jesus, because it's not really my strong suit. But I wrote an essay about Jesus once because I decided that I needed to understand him a little better. And so I want to share with you what that conclusions that I came to when I looked at the life of Jesus. Because what happens sometimes is when we focus strongly on what we want, every resistant belief we have on that subject jumps up and explodes in our face. Have you ever had that experience? You confront your ideas about prosperity and you lose your wallet or something like that. But in sometimes what happens for people is that when they reach for the consciousness of the Christ, they see their dreams crash around them, get crucified by the mob, and enter the dark night of the soul, and wander around lost, wondering where to turn for help. And that's a good time to ask, what would Jesus do? But how do we know what would Jesus do? Well, we can look at what he actually did following the crucifixion, or when things were not going well, when he felt tired, dead, or out of sorts. I love that line. One of my favorite lines I've ever written, when he felt tired, dead, or out of sorts. But he always did the same thing. He disappeared, he ascended, he resurrected, and then he reappeared resplendent. And so, disappeared. He made some time to get away. He disappeared from his usual life. If he could not spend 40 days in the desert or 3 days in a cave in the dark, he at least took the day off and walked into the countryside for a change of scenery or went for a boat ride. He knew when to take a break. Then he ascended. He found something to focus on that allowed him to feel a higher vibration. He looked at it from a broader perspective. He had some fun with his friends and accepted a foot reflexology session from Mary Magdalene. And then he resurrected. He found a new level of comfort again at the higher vibration. He prayed and meditated. He regained his sense of humor and took himself more lightly. He relaxed deeply and remembered all is well, and he focused on his own dream with great intensity and love. And finally, he returned resplendent. He appeared again to a friend he deeply trusted. He took a little longer to readjust his attitude based on her reaction, and then rejoined his community of friends. When he was ready, he taught others to do what he knew how to do. And I think that we can learn a lot from his experience, that sometimes we really need to disappear and take care of our own consciousness, and do that prayer and meditation that allows us to adjust our vibration and it's okay to take a break and not take ourselves too seriously. And so as we experience this whole idea of being the Christ, being who we truly are, Rumi said, "Do you know what you are? You are a manuscript of a divine letter. You are a mirror reflecting a noble face. This universe is not outside of you. Look inside yourself. Everything you want, you are already that." Christ consciousness is an awareness of the oneness. It's having a sense of belonging to yourself and to spirit and to this friendly universe. I asked the beloved last week what grace is, and they said, "Grace is what humans call the incomprehensible friendliness of the universe." There is a bigger perspective that we don't see from our local perspective.
Could you repeat that again?
Grace is what humans call the incomprehensible friendliness of the universe. I love that line. It feels way friendly than the unmerited favor of God, isn't it? Yes. The love that there is here for us is infinite, and love is omnipresent. It is always surrounding us. It is always supporting us. And coming into that knowing is what it means to put on the Christ. It's to allow that wholeness to be revealed to us, through us, and as us. And we can thrash around as much as we want, and I certainly do, and most everybody I know does. It's okay. It's not a bad thing to have a bad day once in a while and to get up and see that the next day is a new beginning. And each moment is a new beginning. And God is unfolding within us in every moment, in every activity, in all that we do. We are blessed, and we keep working on finding that part of ourselves that allows us to connect with the infinite. And in words that heal today, Ernest Holmes said, "Neither did Jesus place any limit upon our use of divine power. Rather, he said in essence, 'Watch what I do, understand the words I speak, enter in conscious union with the Spirit, and you will do greater things than I have done.'" And we won't be fish climbing trees. We won't be Jesus doing what Moses did. We'll be ourselves, doing what we are guided to do with the greatest love that we know to give. And tomorrow, perhaps, we'll know more love than we did today. Ernest said, "We know that more light will be given as we use the light that we have." So we shine our light as beautifully as possible, and we continue to play the games. And so it is.